complete annihilation of Israel. I would say that was a pretty effective prayer. Then he asked for God's forgiveness of Israel. And then he begged God here in the beginning of the chapter for God's presence with Israel as they traveled the rest of the way to the promised land. And God agreed to do that for them. We saw that there in verse 14. He said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And so God answered his prayer and said, "Yes, Moses, I won't destroy my people, and I will go with you." And Moses wasn't afraid to pray big, as we'll see tonight, because now he makes a personal request. Up to this point, the requests have all been for God's people, Israel. But tonight's is a fascinating request, beginning in verse 18. And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, when my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cliff, in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." So show me thy glory. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are truly blessed to open your word tonight. Pray that you'll use it in our hearts. Pray that you'll speak to each of us personally. Lord, that we'll leave changed because of this power. And Lord, that we would honor you in our listening tonight, that you may have the glory in our service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you imagine what a request this was? Moses, remember, had seen God in the burning bush way back when God called him to rescue Israel out of Egypt. But now Moses says, "Lord, show me thy glory." What a request. And I think what we see here, remember Moses just spent 40 days on the mountain receiving the law from the Lord. And what we see is the more time that we spend with God, the more desire we have to understand God. And I think that's part of the problem, is Christians just don't spend enough time with God. And so that desire just isn't there. But Moses had just spent 40 days with God. We're going to see that later he comes down. He's literally been changed physically because of the time he spent with God. And so now that he has spent all this time with the Lord, he says, "Lord, show me thy glory." What a request that is. If you go to Philippians 3:10, we'll see that Paul made a similar statement in his own life. Paul also had a very close relationship with the Lord, as we know, and wrote more than a fourth of the New Testament. And notice here in Philippians 3:10, Paul says, "that I may know him." Now, he's not talking about salvation here. He's already saved. He's already a Christian, a child of God. But he says here, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death." In other words, that I may know him better, that I may know him more. And really, this should be the request of each of our hearts, is, "Lord, show me thy glory." Not necessarily physically with my physical eyes, but show me more of you. And Moses, at this point, didn't have the word of God. Paul only had pieces of the New Testament. You and I have it all. Amen? And this is where we need to go. If you want to see the glory of the Lord, you're going to find it in this book, because this book is a reflection of that glory. Now, one day, hallelujah, we will actually be able to see God's glory. Revelation 21. Sorry, I can hear that too, through two doors. That's pretty good when it's through two doors, eh? Revelation 21, 22. It says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." So it's talking here about the New Jerusalem, which you and I will get to enjoy one day. And it says, "The glory of the Lord will lighten this city." So there will come a day when we can see the glory of the Lord. But until that day, we like Paul, need to be saying that I may know him, that I want to know him better. I want to see God more. I want to experience the person of God more. And again, the way to do that is just to get alone with God, get in the Word, get on your knees, and like Moses, ask for more. And you know, God didn't say no, did he? He said, now there's some conditions. You can't see me in all of my essence because, as he says there, no man can see God or can see me, verse 20, and live. The Lord made a similar statement in John 1:18, if you want to turn there quickly. And what it's telling us is that man in time, different times, has been allowed to get a glimpse of God. The times in the Old Testament when Jesus appeared to men, like as Melchizedek, and other times in the fiery furnace and so forth. But that was God in human form. Moses is asking for more. He says, I want to see thy glory. And God said, you can't see my glory, all of it, in your current state. You're still a human. You're not redeemed yet. You're not in heaven yet. No man, as he says here, can see me and live. Notice John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. That means in his full essence, all of God, no man has seen him up to this point at any time. And we can't until we get to heaven. Or God says we can't survive it. There's just too much power, too much majesty, too much holiness, too much righteousness, too much light. We couldn't take it. It would kill us. But God didn't just say no, did he? He said to Moses, we're going to work this out so that you can see a glimpse of me. And that's where we get our beautiful hymn, 102, which we'll sing as our invitation. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. And so God's initial answer, verse 19, he says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. We're all so grateful for the grace of God, aren't we? Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, we couldn't have salvation. But the longer that you're saved, the more thankful you are for the mercy of God. And that's how it works with God. The grace is poured out, but when we fail, we're so blessed for his mercy. Amen? And when you think about it, like in the Psalms, it doesn't often say his grace endureth forever. What does it say? But his mercy endureth forever. Over and over again in the Scriptures. Especially Psalm 106. So let's turn there if we could. And what this is showing us is it's a picture that God's grace was poured out upon Israel. There in Egypt, especially with the Passover lamb and the blood. But then Israel kept failing God. And God kept being merciful. So look here in Psalm 106, verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. And so they provoked him. Verse 13, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Verse 14, they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God. Verse 16, they envied Moses also in the camp and Aaron the saint of the Lord. Verse 19, they made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Verse 25, They murmured in their tents and hearkened not at the voice of the Lord. In verse 28, they joined themselves also unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. In verse 33, because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. In verse 34, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but they were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. It's not a very flattering psalm, is it? This is Israel. Israel that has been redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb out of Egypt through the Red Sea. Failed, 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 failed. Verse 43, many times did he deliver them. There's the mercy of God. Amen. Many times did he deliver them, despite failure after failure after failure. Many times did he deliver them. Verse 45, and he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his, what? Mercies. His mercies. And of course, Psalm 136, you turn there quickly. We won't read it, but every verse in this psalm ends with the same phrase. And what is that? For his mercy endureth forever. Remember, this is God describing himself to man. He will do more so next chapter. But of all the attributes that God could have pointed to, he pointed to his grace and his mercy. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. We get to the New Testament, we're told to come boldly under the throne of grace, Hebrews chapter 4, that we may obtain, anybody know the next word? Mercy. And find grace. Mercy and grace. There they are again. Come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is God describing God. He says, Moses, I'm about to give you a glimpse of myself. And I just want to remind you that I am a gracious and merciful God. And so he says in verse 21, the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Now we all know that God, in all of his essence, doesn't have a hand. God is a spirit. We're told that, right, in John 4:24. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But God says things like this so that we can relate. Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, I give them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Does God have literal hands? Well, when he appeared in his human form, he did. But God is God. God is everywhere. God is all-powerful. God is light and so forth. But it's something that we can understand, isn't it? That God protects us. As we read in John, God wraps his hands around us and nobody can get to us because of that. And then if you go to 1 Corinthians 10, we see that the Bible teaches that there was a rock that followed the Israelites. And let's see who the rock was. This is the rock that Moses struck, and out came Hamarana Springs, which we can all relate to give enough water for millions of people to have water to drink in the middle of the desert. 1 Corinthians 10:4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And so the rock out of which came water was a picture of none other than who? Jesus Christ, the rock upon which our salvation is founded and the one from whom we receive living waters, which he talks about in John chapter 7. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. That's John 7:38 and 39. And God said, I'll take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. There's not been anything like this in the Old Testament other than this one time, where a man was bold enough to make such a request, a man that was close to God. Remember, he said earlier in the chapter, I know thee by name. Another place in the chapter, he said he spoke to Moses as a man speaks to his friend. God doesn't say that very often in the Scriptures, does he? But how many times in the Old Testament was a man told by God, I'll let you have a glimpse of my glory? This is it, one time. And so he took Moses, he put him in a cave, if you will, passed by, and let him get just a little glimpse as he passed by. But I think that it shows that each of us shouldn't be afraid to say, Lord, show me thy glory. I want to get closer. I want to know you better. I want to know you more. And we have what they did not have. We have this. His glory is in here. Amen? And we need to be praying when we open the Scriptures. Psalm 119:18, open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, show me thy glory. Show me more of you. And the more that he shows us, the more we want to see and experience, because it just increases that desire, that love for him. But it has to start somewhere. And Moses, up to this point, was just praying for others, wasn't he? Lord, don't kill your people. Lord, please forgive your people. Lord, please give your presence to your people. Now, Lord, just one more thing. Show me thy glory. He just spent 40 days and 40 nights with God on the mountain. And he says, Lord, can I just see your glory? Something that I believe all of us should be asking. Show me more, Lord. Show me more of you. And if I need to be put into the cleft of the rock and just get a glimpse, that's okay. But just show me thy glory. You know, that's a request that God never turns down. Is when we say, show me more. Give me more. That verse I quoted in Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes. Show me, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The gracious and merciful God allowed Moses to get a glimpse of his amazing glory. Something that we should all be asking for. Amen. Show me thy glory. Let us.